and fellers. All at once, I could neither swallow nor draw a breath of... I pawed at my mouth. No luck there. I opened my mouth and fluttered my tongue around. Holy smokes, my oxygen supply was running low. I leaped into the air. I ran in a circle, using up the last reserves of my energy supply. I could hear my body making incredible sounds as it fought to rid itself of whatever it was. Grasshopper legs, no doubt, with their barbs and spurs, and I had known all along. I had told Drover, water! I had to find some water. My desperate eyes fell upon the red bucket that Sally Mae had been using. I lurched over to it, stuck my head inside, and began lapping water with all my heart and soul. Sweet relief. The lump of poisonous grasshopper legs passed on down my whatever you call it, the pipe that goes from your mouth to your stomach. And I hoped the old stomach was ready for what was about to hit. The grasshopper ordeal had left me exhausted. That was bad news, for it pretty muchly destroyed Drover's nitwit theory that grasshoppers were full of minerals and vitamins. I sank down to the ground. I had squandered the last of my energy reserves on this deal, and now I was wiped out. I turned my watering eyes towards my master's wife, wagged my tail, and gave her a weak smile. I hoped she would be proud. She appeared to be, well, laughing, so to speak, which struck me as slightly inappropriate, seeing as how I had come within one grasshopper leg of choking to death. I mean, maybe that was no big deal to her, but by George, she was getting quite a chuckle out of my moment on death's doormat. But why all the laughter? I had never supposed that Sally Mae was the kind of woman who laughed at the misfortunes of others, and yet she was sitting on the ground with her arms draped around her knees. At last, she gained control of her laughter.
Hank, do you know what you just drank?
Well, water?
That isn't water. It's root stimulator.
Huh? Root stimulator? She was biting back a smile.
It's plant food, and I don't think it'll hurt you, but maybe you'd better stay out of it.
She laughed and shook her head and returned to her planting chores. For crying out loud, had I escaped one form of poisoning only to fall victim to another? Actually, this stuff had tasted pretty good. At that very moment, little Alfred stuck his head out the door.
Hey, Mom. Maui's awake from her nap and she's trying to get out of her crib.
Oh, dear.
Sally Mae jumped to her feet and brushed off her hands and pants.
Well, that's the end of the planning for today.
She cut her eyes in my direction.
Don't drink that stuff, Hank. It's good for flowers, but it might not be good for dumb dogs.
Yes, ma'am. I watched as she loped to the house. And yes, I tried to forgive her for that last cutting remark. Something about dumb dogs. That was my reward, it seemed, for ridding her yard of... That grasshopper taste was still in my mouth. I would never eat another stupid grasshopper. Never! The back door slammed. She was gone, but the green garbage taste remained in my mouth. My eyes drifted to the red bucket, so to speak. You know, I'd never tasted anything quite like that stuff. It had kind of a fizz that tickled a guy's tongue and mouth, and just a hint of a sour taste, and as I sat there, for no particular reason, my mouth began to water, and my tongue shot out several times, and, by George, much to my own surprise, I found myself... I couldn't see that it would harm anyone or anything if I sampled it one more time. I mean, she'd said it wasn't poison, right? And that little fizzy sour taste sure had covered up the... Yes, it definitely helped to get the gooey grasshopper taste out of my... But you know what? All at once, I became aware of something else, something truly remarkable. I felt a rush of energy. It was small at first, as the tingle in my mouth moved out to other portions of my exhausted body. It tickled my nose, then my ears, then moved down my spine and out to the end of my tail. By George, all at once, I felt 5 years, 25 years younger. Boy, what a kick in the pants that stuff had. Woo-wee! And by then, all the pieces of the puzzle had begun to fall into place. I had stumbled into an incredible scientific discovery, perhaps the most important discovery of the century. Anything that could stimulate a root could revive and restore a worn-out ranch dog. I was getting stronger by the minute. Was it just my imagination? No, surely not, for I could feel waves of thermonuclear energy moving through my body. I could hardly sit still. In fact, I began hopping around in a circle. It happened that Drover came up at that very moment. He twisted his head to the side and gave me a puzzled look. Gosh, what's gotten into you? I thought you were worn to a frizzle. Ha ha! That's the way it used to be, Drover, but no more. I've become a dynamo of energy.
I'll be darned. Must have been that grasshopper, huh?
Not at all, my friend, for you see... All at once it occurred to me that, there might be reasons, security reasons, for concealing the true nature of my test results. I mean, we weren't 100% sure of our conclusions, right? And although Drover was a nice little mutt and a true friend, that didn't mean that I had to tell him everything. Don't forget the old saying, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And the other old saying, Russian fools jump in where angels fear the tread. What did that mean? I wasn't sure exactly, but it was a wise old saying. Drover wasn't a Russian dog, but he was definitely a fool. The point is that Drover didn't need to know. Yes, you're exactly right, Drover. It was the grasshopper.
I'll be darned. The one I ate must have been a dud.
The one you ate wasn't big enough or green enough. It's the big green ones that contain the higher octane levels. By the way, Drover, would you care to wrestle?
Wrestle? I don't think so. It's too hot, and besides, this old leg...
I jumped him, threw him over my shoulder, and pinned him to the ground. I just couldn't resist a chance to wrestle. I mean, I was burning up with vitality. Drover whined for me to let him up, so I did. Began looking around for another, shall we say, sparring partner. My eyes fell upon Pete, who had ventured outside Sally Mae's yard and was slinking across the gravel drive. I threw all engines into fast forward, spun my paws on the gravel, and went roaring after Precious Kitty. He knew something was up. Perhaps he saw the fire in my eyes. He stopped in his tracks, humped his back, and began to hiss. Bad move. Just before I got there, he figured out the obvious, that his hissing couldn't stop a freight train. He sold out and ran to the nearest tree. On another occasion, he would have been safe in the tree. And as a matter of fact, on reaching the first limb, he turned a haughty little smirk at me and stuck out his tongue. Ha ha! Little did he know, I didn't stop at the base of the tree, fellers. I climbed that rascal, which caused panic and pandemonium amongst the kiddies, so to speak. He screeched and hissed and climbed higher. I followed. This was fun. I had never climbed a tree before. Whoopee! What a lark! Pete scratched and clawed his way out to the tiny branches at the end of a limb, and I, sort of ran out of structural support for my enormous body, you might say, and fell out of the tree. Good thing old Slim was down there greasing the trailer bearings. Otherwise, I might have hit the ground with a thud, but there he was, and I landed on his head. Boy, was he shocked. What a riot. Hat, Glasses, bearings, and grease flew in all directions. That woke him up, I'll bet. Whilst he stared at me with wide eyes, I gave him a huge lick on the face and went bounding away to find another source of entertainment. Good honk. I just got hit by a fallen dog. Righto! And I was just getting warmed up. It was my good fortune just then to see 7 pecking chickens up ahead. How perfect! You know how much I love to bulldoze chickens. It's one of the greatest thrills this life has to offer, even better than treeing cats, because the chickens flutter and flap and make a lot more noise than a cat. Wow! It was great, wonderful, terrific. Feathers and chickens flew in all directions. It was one of the most meaningful experiences of my entire career. The only trouble was that it ended in a matter of seconds. And once you've scattered all the chickens, fellers, it's hard to go back to life's dull routines. I trotted past Slim and gave him a big grin. He was trying to wipe the axle grease off his glasses, and he didn't look too happy about it. You doofus dog, what were you doing up in that tree? He would never understand. Nobody would understand. I had just discovered a secret energy source and had transformed myself into Turbo Pooch, half dog and half bulldozer. As I approached Dover, he began backing away.
Hank, something's come over you. I think that grasshopper must have been eating dynamite and gasoline. I've never seen you act this way before. I'm kind of worried about you.
Ha! Don't worry about me, kid. Worry about the rest of the world. Come on, let's wrestle some more. Let's go a few rounds of boxing. Let's run a 5-mile race. Let's tear down a few trees. He kept backing away.
You know, Hank, I'd love to do all that, but it's awful hot, and this old leg sure has been giving me fits.
Yeah? Well, let's just yank it off. His eyes crossed. I laughed. Just kidding, Drover. Don't be so serious. Relax and enjoy life.
How can I relax when you're acting so weird?
I don't know, pard. As a matter of fact, I'm having a little trouble relaxing myself. I mean, 1 hour ago, I could hardly stay awake. Now, I can't find enough things to do to burn up all this energy.
That was quite a grasshopper.
A what? Oh, yes, of course. The, grasshopper. Yes, indeed. That was quite a... My ears shot up. They had just picked up the sounds of an incoming vehicle. Come on, son. We've got an interception job to do. Hot dog.
Yeah, that's me. I'm a hot dog, and I don't want to run, because that'll just make me a hot dogger. I'll meet you around front.
I hit full throttle, spun all 4 paws on the gravel, and went ripping around the south side of the house. I intercepted the IV up by the shelter belt and provided escort all the way to the front of the machine shed. Actually, I did more than that. I got bored with mere escort duty and began biting the front tires. Yes, I knew it was dangerous, but I didn't care. I seemed to have developed a taste for danger. That's odd, isn't it? I mean, all this wild energy had come from a bucket of plant food. By George, if that stuff had affected Sally Mae's shrubberies and flowers the way it affected me, they'd have been running all over the ranch. Wouldn't that have been something to see? Sally Mae chasing her petunias and dragon snappers and hollyhockers through the home pasture. Well, I was having such a big time snapping at the tires that I didn't notice to who or whom the pickup belonged. Or to put it another way, I didn't notice that the driver was Billy, our neighbor to the east. You remember Billy? Maybe not. The most important detail I can tell you about Billy is that he had several dogs, and one of them happened to be the most gorgeous collie gal in the whole world. And you'll never guess who was sitting in the back of the pickup. By the time Billy stepped out of the pickup, I had already done date and mark on all 4 tires. I could tell that he was impressed. He walked over to Slim, who was still sitting in the shade with a handful of grease and trailer bearings.
What have y'all been feeding that dog? In this heat, I can hardly get mine to scratch a flea. Old Hank's running around like a pup in January. Slim shrugged. Beats me. A little while ago, the crazy outfit chased the cat up this tree and fell on top of me. I like to have had a stroke. What's up?
Oh, I need to borrow you some 6011 welding rod. You got any?
Well, let's go see. Boy, it's hot. Makes a guy wish he could rent a big watermelon and move into it for the rest of the summer.
They shuffled into the machine shed. It was then that I turned my attention to the back of the pickup and saw Mercy. There she was.
The girl of my dreams, just as I had seen her so many times in my slumbering sleepiness.
The dewberry eyes,
the long collie nose, the flaxen hair, the perfect collie ears. Holy smokes! My heart stopped beating, and I forgot to breathe.
It was the lovely Miss Beulah. After almost dying of joy and excitement, I snatched myself back from the brink of the edge and regained my composure. I wiggled my eyebrows 3 times and gave her my most suave, my most charming smile.
Well, my goodness, hath the sun risen before us in the middle of the day, or is this Miss Beulah the collie?
I shall never forget her words. She said,
"Hello, Hank."
Beautiful. Pure poetry.
I could sense that she was still madly in love with me, and that our romance would begin just where it had left off,
just as though we had spent every minute. Bird dog? There seemed to be a bird dog sitting on the opposite side of the pickup. He was giving me a lopsided grin.
"Hi, Hank. By golly, it's great to see you again. How about this weather? You ever see such heat? I haven't worked out all week."
That was Plato, of course. Plato, the stick-tail spotted bird dog. He spent his time pointing tennis shoes and retrieving sticks and thinking about birds. And what really ripped me was that Beulah seemed to like him. I gave him a nod.
"Yes, the heat has been terrible."
I knocked off 3 backflips in a row,
did a forward flip with a half twist,
and landed on my feet.
"I've had to cut back on my work schedule."
You should have seen his eyes. They almost bugged out of his head.
"Good gravy, Hank. That's very impressive, very impressive. Beulah, did you see that?"
She did. I knew she did because I could see and almost feel her adoring gaze on me. So, just for the heck of it, I knocked off 3 forwards, 2 backwards, landed on my front legs, did 5 push-ups, and ended with 5 carbuncles. Cartwheels. Plato almost fell out of the pickup. He couldn't believe his eyes.
"Wow! By golly, Hank, I'm really impressed. No kidding. I mean, in this heat, the rest of us just drag around and try to survive. But you, did you see that honey bun?"
"Quit calling her honey bun."
I froze and cocked my ear. Was I hearing voices? Unless I was badly mistaken, I had just heard someone say, "Quit calling her honey bun." I shot a glance at Plato. His expression had changed. His eyes showed fear. I shifted my gaze towards Beulah. She was looking away as though... very strange. Plato cut his eyes from side to side and motioned for me to come over. When I did, he glanced over his shoulder and dropped his voice. "Hank, there's something I must tell you. Remember Rufus, Billy's Doberman pincer? He's sitting over there on the spare tire."
"Oh. So that was his voice I heard?"
"Right, yes, exactly. He forced me and Beulah to sit in opposite corners. He doesn't want us to be friendly, if you know what I mean, because he thinks Beulah likes him."
"Does he?"
I turned to Beulah.
"I can't stand him. He's an ugly toad, and he's a bully and a brute, and he's so mean to poor Plato. Oh, I hate him."
"I'll be darned. Well, maybe I need to have a talk with old Rufy."
Plato's eyes grew wide, and he shook his head. No, don't get involved, Hank. I know you mean well, but this is just something we'll have to live with. We can stand it another day, can't we, honey? Beulah.
Stay on your side, bird brain, and quit talking to my sweetie pie.
It was the voice again. Okay, Rufus, sorry. It won't happen again. Plato turned back to me. You see what I mean? He's the meanest, most overbearing dog I've ever known. And I'll be honest, Hank, he scares me.
I wonder what he'd do if I yelled, "Honey bun."
Plato flinched at the words. Oh, I wouldn't do that, Hank, really. No kidding. To you, it might be a joke, but Rufus has no sense of humor at all. And let me remind you, Hank, this guy has hurt a lot of dogs. He's vicious.
Oh, Swan.
I threw back my head and called,
"Honey bun, here, honey bun. Oh, honey bun, here, honey, there, a bun, everywhere, a honey bun."
Plato gasped.
Oh, Hank, no, please.
"Honey bun, honey bun, honey bun."
Plato's eyes rolled back in his head. Beulah's eyelids sank. The pickup lurched and bounced, and Rufus's ugly head appeared over the tailgate.
I gave him a lazy grin.
"Hi. How y'all today?" He spoke in a deep, booming voice.
"Who said honey bun?"
"Well, let's see. It wasn't Plato. It wasn't Beulah. So perhaps 'twas I."
"Who are you?"
"Fine, thanks. How about yourself?"
He roasted me with his eyes.
"I said, who are you, smart guy? I don't care how you are."
"Oh, sorry. Hank the cow dog. You're on my ranch."
"Oh, yeah. I whipped you once on your ranch. It was fun, but it didn't last long."
He aimed a paw at me.
"Don't say those words again. I don't like them."
"You mean honey bun?"
"That's right. I hate them."
"Honey bun."
There was a long moment of silence. Then,
"Are you trying to be funny? Are you just stupid?"
"Now, every time I see Beulah's lovely face, I think of honey buns. Odd, isn't it?"
"I ought to knock your block off. Don't ever say honey bun to my honey bun."
"Oh, she's yours, huh?"
"Right."
He turned to Beulah.
"Aren't you honey bun?"
She turned away and didn't answer.
"She's crazy about me. And even if she ain't, that's too bad. She's mine. So butt out before you get hurt. You got that?"
"Nope."
His eyes widened.
"What?"
"Rufus, there's something we need to discuss. I don't like you."
A grin spread over his mouth.
"Yeah, that's nice.
And it's not just because you have the ugliest face I've ever seen."
His smile began to wilt.
"You can't help it that you're ugly and stupid. What I don't like is that you're rude."
"Oh, yeah?"
"Uh-huh. And you're being rude to a lady friend of mine on my ranch. That's not very nice."
"Big deal."
"If you'll apologize to Beulah and promise to be a good little doggy for the rest of your life, I'll forget the whole thing."
"You must be crazy."
"If you aren't dog enough to apologize to the lady, I'll be forced to trash you right here in front of everyone. It's up to you."
Beulah stared at me with terror-stricken eyes. Plato was shaking his head and wheezing and trying to motion me to be quiet. Rufus leaned over the tailgate and narrowed his ugly, bloodshot eyes.
"Say, bub, I beat up cow dogs just for exercise, and then I move on to the tough guys. Be kind to yourself and get lost."
"Honey bun." There was a long, throbbing moment of silence as we glared into each other's eyes. Plato couldn't stand it any longer. Settle down, Rufus. Easy now. Hank has a great sense of humor, but sometimes...
Shut up. Get back in your corner.
Right, okay, but let me emphasize...
Shut up!
Plato did as he was told. Rufus's terrible eyes swung back to me.
Where would you like to take your whipping? Up here in the pickup or down on the ground?
Tell you what, Ruf. Let me get a drink of water and I'll think about it. Don't go away. As I turned to leave, I heard him laugh.
Wave goodbye to your hero. He won't be back.
I trotted down to the yard gate. Little did old Rufus know that I had a secret weapon. A couple of slurps of root stimulator and... the bucket was gone. Cold fear began working its way down my back and out to the end of my tail. Behind me, I heard Rufus laughing and calling out insults.
Hurry up, hero. I'm getting bored.
Nope.
Now what? Who had moved my bucket? Where did it go? My eyes searched the entire backyard area. I could feel my reserves of energy slipping away, and all at once, I became aware of the heat. It was so hot. I had to find the bucket. My reputation, my whole career was at stake because... Holy smokes, I had just spent the last 15 minutes mouthing off to one of the meanest dogs in Texas. I was on the brink of despair and desolation when the back door opened and Sally Mae stepped out on the porch. In her right hand, she carried the bucket. Yes, the very same bucket. I identified it at once. She set it down on the porch. Boy, what a relief. There for a minute, I had feared the worst, that she had poured out my supply of precious root stimulator and wasted it on a bunch of idiot plants. But there it was, safe and sound, and now all I had to do... Mop? Why was she dipping a mop into my... And then, the terrible truth came crashing down upon my head. She had poured out my precious root stimulator and was using the container as a mop bucket. Oh, what a cruel fate to be brought down in the prime of my life by a mop.
Hurry up, cow dog. We're waiting.
Sally Mae squeezed out the mop with both hands and went back into the house. She left the bucket on the porch. I found myself staring at it. It was the same bucket I had drunk out of before, right? It contained... mop water instead of root stimulator, but both were liquids composed primarily of water, which means they were very similar. If root stimulator and mop water were very similar, then perhaps they were almost the same. Who would know the difference? Not a plant, not a mop. I mean, the little cotton strands on a mop were almost identical to the roots on a plant. Both were long and stringy, both extended downward. Both were attached to a longer stalk or stick, which extended upward. Hencely, by following the twisted path of logic, I had arrived at the startling conclusion that mop water and root stimulator were exactly the same stuff, which meant that mop water would restore my reserves of energy, just as the plant food had done. Gee whiz, what a breakthrough! What a triumph of scientific thinking over the rubble of ordinary experience. Only one small problem remained, and it was only a small problem. I would have to make a penetration of Sally Mae's yard. That was no big deal. I'd done it before many times, and though it posed certain risks, I knew I could do it, because I had to do it.
Hey, cow dog, snap it up, will ya?
I coiled my legs under me and went flying over the yard fence. I landed on silent paws, stopped in my tracks, and listened. I could hear Sally Mae's voice inside the house. She seemed to be discussing something with little Alfred. Yes, They were discussing spilled milk. She would never know that I had broken into her yard and borrowed some mop stimulator. I crept forward. Two steps. Stop. Listen. Three steps. Stop. Listen. Four steps. And suddenly I was there, standing on the porch with the bucket looming before me. I shot glances over both shoulders, plunged my head into the bucket, and began lapping the... Stuff tasted pretty awful, but it's common knowledge that good medicine always tastes bad, and... Who would have thought that she would finish her mopping and spilled milk lecture so soon? Not me. I was totally shocked when the screen door flew open and struck me on the left shoulder, and it appeared that I had been caught with my head in the, cookie jar. Mop bucket. Our eyes met. I licked a drip off my chin and tried to squeeze up a smile that would, explain exactly what I was doing there in her yard, on her back porch, in her mop bucket. Hi, Sally Mae. I know this looks odd, even strange, but I think I can explain everything. She stared at me for a long, throbbing moment. Then she leaned down and spoke.
You are drinking mop water.
Yes, I knew that.
And before that, you were drinking my plant food.
Right, and there was a reason for that, too. No kidding.
What is wrong with you? Can't you find a drink of plain water on this ranch?
Sure, but...
There's a creek right over there, and it's full of fresh drinking water.
Yes, I was aware of the, creek. She brought her face right down to the level of my nose.
Will you please stop behaving like a moron?
I knew in my deepest heart that she wouldn't approve of a mop water kiss at that particular moment. But some strange urge caused my tongue to shoot out and give her a big, juicy lick on the... Well, on the nose-mouth region of her face. Good grief. You'd have thought she'd been bitten by a cobra the way she drew back. And screeched. Yes, she screeched at me. And then came the mop. Right across my face. Well, I could take a hint. If she didn't want me around, I would just... run for my life and let the chipmunks fall where they would. I made it over the yard fence just one step ahead of the murderous mop and took refuge in some tall weeds. There I heard her say,
I'll swear that's the dumbest dog.
Boy, that hurt. Not as much as the mop, but it opened wounds deep inside my heart and soul. Wounds that might never heal. She went back inside the house. She probably didn't realize that her cutting remarks had inflicted irreparable damage to our relationship. And she probably didn't even care.
Hey, cow dog, we're waiting.
The sound of Rufus's voice brought me back to the other crisis in my life. Had the mop water done its job? I had to know the truth. I turned to data control for a report on all internal systems. My heart sank as I scanned the report flashing across the screen of my mind. It showed low readings in all departments. Heart rate, blood sugar, oxygen acetylene supply, energy, ambition, and cellular phonography. Even more disturbing was the presence of high levels of toxic mop water in my stomach area. My poor stomach had certainly been tested. A gooey green grasshopper, root stimulator, and now mop water. Did I feel sick? Sure, but I didn't have time to be sick. My career and reputation were hanging in the ballast. I had talked my way into a fight I couldn't possibly win, yet I couldn't walk away from it either. Well, obviously, It was time for a song, right? I mean, there comes a time in every dog's life when he bursts into singing because, well, the other things he might be doing aren't so great. Have we ever done the mop water song? Maybe not. Here's how it goes.
Never should have drunk that mop water.
Never should mop water.
Never should have tried that mop water.
Mop water, slop water, sick as a horse.
Mop water is low in calories, but it's also low in taste. It will fill your daily requirement of spider webs, dirt, and various waste.
Never should have sampled yucky, dirty mop water. Silly dog, stupid dog, mop water.
A bellyache can come from drinking mop water.
Belly trouble, tummy rumble, stomach upset.
If you're preparing to fight a gorilla, exercise caution and stay on your toes. If somebody says mop water will help you, he's telling a lie, so punch him in the nose.
I never should have drunk that mop water. Never should mop water.
Never should have tried that mop water.
Mop water, slop water, sick as a horse.
Not bad, huh? I mean, for a song that I just threw together at the last moment, it was pretty darn good. Well, I gathered my few remaining shreds of energy. Boy, it was hot. And made the long trudge up the hill. There was Billy's pickup just where I had left it. Rufus spotted me right away. His pointed ears shot up, and a wicked sneer worked its way across his toothy mouth.
Look who's coming back. How was the water, pal? I hope it was good, because it may be the last drink you'll ever get.
I felt the harsh glare of the afternoon sun as I dragged myself to the rear of the pickup. I caught a glimpse of Plato and Beulah. Their eyes showed the terror of what was about to happen. They knew, just as I knew, that I was about to march into a battle of no return. It had to be done. I had talked my way into this deal, and I couldn't back down. It was rotten luck that my supply of root stimulator had lasted just long enough to get me into a world of trouble. But that was life. When you're head of ranch security, you don't make excuses. I jumped up into the pickup. The effort of getting there left me drained. The sun was burning me up, wilting me, sucking the energy out of my muscles and bones. I lifted my head and looked Shark Face in the eyes. Okay, Rufus, I guess it's time. His laugh sent shivers down my spine.